This text is a reality show, not in the sense of a reality TV show, but a show of reality. You don't, however, get the full picture apart from the five verses left out of the insert. These contain parables that compare the kingdom of heaven to a mustard seed and yeast. And these verses contain the astounding truth that parables are all non-disciples get. One of the missing verses reads, Jesus did not say anything to them without using a parable. The reality shown in our text to non-disciples, to those outside the church, is that the kingdom of heaven really is what they are seeing right now. The king of the kingdom apparently is doing nothing to stop weeds from being sown over top his wheat field. See how bizarre that is? When the servants asked their Lord incredulously, Lord, surely you sowed good seed in your field, so where did the weeds come from? He knows right away where they came from. An enemy did this. Yet the Lord, preaching the kingdom of heaven has come to earth, does nothing to stop it being polluted, infected, infested with good-for-nothing weeds. What farmer would be so careless? For that matter, what weekend gardener would be? Haven't you ever sown grass seed in your yard? You were real careful not to put that seed in your garden because that would be as destructive as any weed. Yet the King of Heaven isn't as watchful as you? Look around you. Pedophile priests, preachers with prostitutes, licentious Lutherans, they're regularly exposed as being in the same field as sons of the kingdom. You know what the proper thing to do with weeds is? Pull them up. That's what the servants proposed to the Lord, and the Greek shows that this is what they expect him to do. After the Lord tells them an enemy did this, they say to him, they don't ask, they say to him, therefore, which is left out of the insert, therefore you want us to go and pull them up. Any gardener that won't pull up weeds has no claim to that name or is just plain foolish. But this is how the King of Heaven explains his ministry to outsiders. They see his kingdom as we sing, by schism rent asunder, by heresy distress. They hear on NPR's morning edition this past Tuesday, Christians debating whether Adam and Eve were real people. And the King of Heaven doesn't strike down the unbeliever posing as a Christian who says they weren't. All the offense the King of Heaven puts in the face of his hearers by saying, don't pull up the weeds, let them grow together with the wheat. So the King of all heaven does what no earthly farmer or gardener would do. He allows unfaithful, unchristian, unbelief to grow undisturbed in his field and does nothing. That's the reality the Lord shows to those outside of the church. And then he piles on even more reasons, more excuses for unbelief to reject him and his kingdom. You are not studying your Bible closely enough if you do not see that if a person wanted to be saved by the law, then Jesus piled up laws on top of them. If a person was offended by Jesus' person or work, Jesus only made himself all the more offensive to them. And when reason was offended by what Jesus did or said, he became even more unreasonable. Again, you miss all that when you skip from verse 30 to 36. For in verses 31 to 33, Jesus again tells the outsiders the parables of the mustard seed and the yeast, which emphasize the littleness and the hiddenness of his kingdom now. To those who were always asking for wonders and signs, Jesus confounded them by saying the kingdom of heaven now was little and hidden. And what you have yet to realize is that their now is our now. Contrary to onward Christian soldiers, the church does not move like a mighty army. We still do not see with these eyes a great tree where the birds of the air can find shelter. We still don't see with these eyes a thoroughly leavened bread of dough. And we don't see Jesus reaching down with green giant-like hands to weed his field. Influential Christians publicly state they are Christian homosexuals, Christian abortionists, Christian evolutionists, Christians who deny the virgin birth and the resurrection. Whole Christian churches believe, teach, and profess these things, and the King of Heaven could weed them all out at once, yet he does nothing. This is the only reality those outside of the church get to see. Jesus doesn't show them the reality at the end of the ages. He doesn't show them that the beginnings aren't what count, but the endings are. What is happening now is not as important as what happens then. But there is more here than the lesson that the weeds are left for the sake of the wheat. Those outside the kingdom, they got that much. And there's even more here than it's not till the end of the ages that our King finally will sort everything out. There are lessons for now based on the reality those outside the church can see and can't see. The first reality Jesus shows us is that planting churches based on personal holiness, repentance, or appeals for intense believing apparently work now. Read the emerging church websites of any denomination or non-denomination, and you'll find the very same thing. There, a church who takes the Bible's admonition to be holy, to repent, or to believe seriously. But see, that's really pulling up wheat with the weeds. When the Lord tells his servants, don't pull up the weeds, he doesn't say, as that insert translates, you may root up the wheat. No, he says what the RSV and the New King James translate, you will root up the wheat. No may about it. Haven't you ever heard preaching like that? Haven't you ever heard holy living, repenting, or believing emphasized? And you conclude, well, that ain't me. All my righteousness is as filthy rags, says Isaiah. Am I repenting? Well, it's no better than St. Paul's, who said that the bad he doesn't want to do, that's what he ends up doing. And as far as my believing goes, well, that never gets beyond the man in John who said he believed, but still he still needed help with his unbelief. Therefore, I must be a weed, not a wheat. The church is not planted by subjective holiness, repentance, or faith, but by objective gospel, objective means of grace that convey the gospel. Sons of the kingdom are produced by the King of Kings. Your personal holiness is filthy rags, but God the Father clothed his only Son in those rags and put his holy ones over you in your baptism and on you by my absolution. Your repentance is not good enough to pay for even one of your sins. But Jesus, after living a life with absolutely nothing to repent of, died for your sins. And that paid not only for your sins, but for the sins of the whole world. Your believing is always feeble, it's always fragile. But Jesus is perfect. He believes your sins are paid for. He believes that God threw your sins behind his back, as Isaiah says, and he believes that they have sunk to the bottom of the ocean, never to be seen by you or remembered by God, as Micah says. So as Luther said, rather than looking inside of yourself for a frail, feeble-looking thing called faith, you see in your heart Jesus, who promises he is there through your baptism, through your absolution, and through your Holy Communion. But there's more than gospel reality to show here. There's law too. Jesus shows those inside the church that being left alone is not the same as being forgiven. Both weeds and wheat are left alone to grow for now. but their ends are very different. Because the judging hand of God has not reached down and pulled you out of his field doesn't mean he's okay with you defending, excusing, or accepting your sins or sinfulness. Because you are growing and even flourishing in God's field doesn't mean you won't be weeded out at the end of the ages and thrown into hell's fiery furnace. Only the sons of the kingdom are safe and will be saved. They don't say, "I am a thief, but I'm still a Christian." They don't say, "I'm an adulterer, but I'm still a Christian." They don't say, "I don't believe all of God's words, but I'm still a Christian." But neither do they claim their holiness, repentance, or faith is enough to gain them heaven. No, only the holy life and innocent death of Jesus that comes to them in his body and blood, poured on their bodies, preached into their ears, and put into their mouth, gives them heaven. Finally, Jesus shows the reality to those inside the church that they aren't going crazy now. Evil is still growing. It is not waning. Jesus never said that this present age was anything but evil. Jesus shows us that evil grows now right up to the very end of the ages. Not only does Jesus tell us not to expect a rose garden, not only does Jesus tell us roses don't grow on stalks of clover, Jesus tells us there are weeds in the wheat. Jesus tells us this so we won't despair when we see the weeds, the evil growing and flourishing. This is not to surprise us. Our King told us this would be the case right up until the end of the ages. Then the King will remove the sons of the evil one as easily as you do weeds after a nice rain. At the end of the ages, it will be as clear to the angels doing the harvesting who is a son of the kingdom and who is a son of the evil one. It will be as clear to them as thistles are to you in your lawn. And do note this, in the explanation to this parable, Jesus does not depict the sons of the kingdom being harvested. No, at the end of the age, Jesus sends out the angels only to weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. The righteous aren't picked, gathered, or harvested. They are shown as shining like the sun, safe in the kingdom of their Father. You see, this is reality. The weeds, the sons of the evil one, though they look impressive, though they look strong, invincible, they aren't part of God's eternal reality. They are meant to be removed, and they will be at the end of the ages. Furthermore, the only reason the weeds aren't removed right now is for the sake of the wheat at the end of the ages. So the reality we see now that is offensive to so many serves a reality even more real because it's eternal. He who has ears, let him hear this with joyful understanding. Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.